Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Is this the part where I have to take my shirt off?
Oh, yeah. Take that shirt off, Dangles.
See, I remember.
Yeah. Tony, you're the worst of these best.
I am a man of my word. Lipstick, shirts, Tony, you're just like, what are you doing?
Thank you, Dangs.
Drew, I got two notebooks. I got a spreadsheet in front of me. I got to run your ass. I got to make sure you're in camera view. I got a lot going on. There it is,
I was going to say, shirtless. You're scaring the chicks away, but you're a happily married man, so you know.
Flex on him. Yeah, I don't need to worry Dangles, about that.
Dangles,
baby.
Dangles,
both people that are going to watch this video on YouTube have no interest in that, so I'm not worried.
Dangles, can you turn the exposure down? Your pale skin is blinding the camera. You look like a tub of mayonnaise with a beard.
Is that half and half or almond milk?
Who you betting on? Always on black, fat stats in the pocket, whole squad, fast cash. Send the bookie, tell him bring it from the bag. No, we coming for the bag.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to the few in attendance and the thousands listening around the world, let's get ready to gamble. My name is Tony Cavallo. As always, I'm joined by Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crookston. We are the West Coast Gamblers, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network and the only gambling show that makes you money. You can find us on Twitter at West Coast Gams, and we are on the Gaming Society's YouTube channel where you can see our lovely faces make these bets, and you'll be able to see Mr. Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, take his shirt off for the 2-point bet coming later because he lost the shirts v skin battle in that Arizona Carolina game. I'm excited to see where Dangles goes this week. I'm excited to see where Drew goes this week. Listen, guys, you're talking to the best gambler on the show. Right now, I am king of the coast currently, and I am pulling away with that lead. But I have to say, Dangles, would it surprise you that after as bad as you did early, you've been pulling your weight. You even had a 5-for-5 bet day a few weeks back.
Yes, indeed.
You've been pulling your weight, my friend. And would it surprise you that in king of the coast, you are 22-27-1. Happens to be the same record as Schaefer the Sharp.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, look, I'm going to frame that as good news for us because Schaefer the Sharp is the Sharp. We know he's going to be good, but I'm kind of the newbie to this, and I'm learning as I go. So I think the fact that I'm showing progress is a better sign that Drew's just having some struggles because Drew can get through some struggles. But if you never get it in the first place or never show that you're getting it in the first place, I mean, that's how you end up with the title of a mush. And as much as my name lends itself very well to Matty Mush, that's not who I want to be.
No, that's not who you are. You're Dangles through and through. Schaefer the Sharp, I know you're ready for this week, and we got a big show today. We have the Thursday night lean, of course. We break down the Thursday night game that's coming up next. The Sunday night lock, we break down a very interesting Sunday night battle. And then the King of the Coast, where each of the hosts here gives out 5 bets that you can take for the Sunday slate. 5 bets that are going to hit. I'm feeling really good about my board. I know these two are as well. But before we get there, Dangles, I know you've been throughout this whole entire season putting your mind to it. Listen, Drew has his stats. I have my gut. You've developed your own little theory and your own little spreadsheet, putting all the numbers in, try to calculate these things out. And I know you've been noticing something interesting about home teams so far this season. Is that correct?
I have, yeah. I was kind of just looking at some of these lines early on today, and I noticed a lot of them were, you know, close, like 2.5 points, 3.5 points, games where if you factor out home field advantage and these teams played on a neutral field, they'd be pick-ems, right? Or a half a point, very, very close spreads. So I dug a little bit deeper and I looked at my own spreadsheet where I'm keeping track of all of the margins of victory. And I have a model that is not my own personal model that I've adapted from other people, but that bases power ratings, not power rankings, power ratings, kind of off of how much or little a team wins or loses at home versus on the road. And through 10 weeks of the season, I noticed something interesting. Now, normally in betting, I think it would be fair to say, about 2.5 points that we give to the home team as a home
give
field
or take,
advantage.
Yeah.
Give or take. It changes depending on the year, I think. Sometimes it's 2 points, sometimes 2.5. I've been operating under, 2.5 this week, or this year rather. And I looked at my own home edge here on my spreadsheet, 0.22. So I dug a little bit deeper. And I did out the averages of points scored for teams at home and teams away. Would it surprise you to know that away teams are averaging 23 points a game this year, and home teams are averaging 23.5 points per game this year? So it would seem, at least through 10 weeks of the 2021 NFL season, that home field advantage, at least by my model, isn't much of a factor, if at all, in deciding games. And I know that informed a lot of what I'm doing this week, looking at games that I think that are maybe 2.5, 3.5 points, where I'm kind of looking at them as pick'ems and betting that way. So I was just kind of curious to hear your thoughts on that trend that I've noticed, and how much you guys factor in a home field advantage, and how much you really think it matters. And is there a general thing you can say about it, or does it really vary from year to year?
Well, it's certainly it's good. It's good research there, Dangs, because it's certainly a narrative that is becoming more and more, popular among the pro NFL sharps community, as far as home field is being basically less and less valuable every year. Now, in the past, you said 2.5. I mean, I would give almost a full 3 points, sometimes even 3.5, to some of the biggest home field advantages in the league, such as the 12th man in Seattle when the Seahawks were good. Obviously, at Lambeau during a weather game.
Sure.
You know, I definitely think I'm to the point where you can't completely ignore it fully. Obviously, I think weather has a lot to do with stuff, but I do think you got to look at these teams with traveling fan bases, like, you know, the Steelers, like the Bears, that travel to these exotic destinations, Los Angeles, Florida, and really think these teams are going to be playing a makeshift home game on the road. And whether that's an advantage or not, I don't really know, but I definitely agree and concur with your overall, it's a nice science experiment, Dangs. You kind of had a hypothesis, and I think you're correct. Home field advantage is by far less significant than it has been in the past, and I think it's going to continue to go that way in the future.
Well, let's go now to a Thursday night game. It's time for the Thursday night lean, because it's a very interesting line for the away team. Dangles, what do we have on the docket for Thursday night football?
I am excited for this one. Why are we even going to bother just picking that? The Patriots are going to win this game. Let's get to the matchup. We'll talk about it a little bit more. My New England Patriots traveling on the road to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Field, Superdome, whatever the fuck it's called in Atlanta.
The Crypto.com Arena.
That's right. I'm sorry. These teams change so fast. What a stupid name. Anyway, the New England Patriots in Atlanta taking on the Falcons. The Patriots are 7-point favorites, courtesy of our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook. The total in this game is 47 points. Atlanta just got the brakes beat off of them by Dallas, 43-3, and New England comes off of a walloping of their own, but they were on the right side of it, 45-7 against the Cleveland Browns last week. Fellas, let me kick it to you. We don't usually start with Schaefer the Sharp. Let me kick it to Schaefer the Sharp first.
I could bet lead off. I could bet lead off after those 3 weeks. Thanks,
Dangs. Let's have you hitting that Raphael for call spot. Who do you got here on this Thursday night game?
The lefty slapper. You know, I've noticed.
I loved Raphael for call.
Yeah. Little Rafa. Okay, well, guys, I mean, God damn it. This game, are you serious? The Patriots giving a full 7 on the road. I mean, this just screams. What have we learned the last couple weeks? I mean, you don't know shit. No one knows shit. The Sharp doesn't know shit. You don't know shit. So it's like, this is just a game where, like, everybody and their mother, their animals, their plants that have prop bets are all going to be on the Patriots. I just can't get there. This advanced line was -4, and obviously the Patriots, like you said, Dangs, beat the brakes off a Browns team, and then the Falcons laying egg against a good Cowboys team. It moves 3 points. Now, very well, the Patriots could cover the spread. Obviously, I have skin in the game with the Patriots, as we know. So I'm going to go to a little prop bet here. And what does Bill Belichick do the best? He takes out the number one offensive weapon of the opposing team. Now, our boy Kyle Pitts, transcendent tight end, wonderful tight end. He had two games back-to-back, 163, 113 yards, receiving yards. Since then, he's only clipped 60. He's at 60, 62, and like some mid-20s. Not as hot as he used to be. So I'm going Bill Belichick, the GOAT, going to shut down the number one offensive weapon for the Falcons. I'm going Kyle Pitts under 61.5 receiving yards.
I would hate that because I do have Kyle Pitts in quite a few fantasy leagues, but I mean, I see your point, Drew. The only question I have is Kyle Pitts the number one option on that team, or is it Cordarrelle Patterson who just scores every time he gets the ball?
He may not play. He's going to be a game time decision. Yeah. That's the question mark there.
I will say I was scared to take this spread as well. I was scared to touch anything with the over under because we saw this very game last week. Baltimore -6 heading into Miami. Miami, an inferior team. Baltimore, a playoff contender. And then what happened? You know, you can't explain to me how that game was won by Miami. I watched it myself, and I couldn't believe my eyes to this day. I'm a little scared of it happening again to New England. New England coming off a huge win might have a little downgrade when it comes to Thursday. Obviously, Bill Belichick is one hell of a coach. That doesn't need to be said. He's going to have these guys ready, but -7 is a big number. What I think is going to happen with this game, Dangles just said how Cordarrelle Patterson might not play, but someone that will play is one of my favorite players, Damian Harris, who is on every single one of my fantasy teams that I could get him in. Damian Harris, let me make sure I got it right. Damian Harris, if he gets 10 carries in a game, he has scored a touchdown 6 of the last 7 times that has happened. He's coming off of a concussion. The backup, Ramondre Stevenson, just had a huge game, but we know in New England, running backs are a dime a dozen, and they really trust this Damian Harris guy. I think he gets enough carries. If he goes over that 10 carry, it's a guaranteed touchdown. I'm giving you Damian Harris anytime touchdown at -115. Let's go, Damian. That's my bet. Dangles, finish us off. It's your team. What do you got for the Thursday night lean?
Let's go, Damian, indeed. Well, let me start by just saying, you know, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little concerned about the amount of hype I'm seeing around Mac Jones and how great he is and all the tweets and articles.
He's a lock for Rookie of the Year,
Dangles,
a lock.
I want that to be the case, but it's just, you know how when there gets to be so much hype around someone, it kind of starts, especially when they're on your team, it kind of starts to freak you out a little bit. I mean, I'm optimistic, but cautiously so. But here, instead, you mentioned the Falcons tight end, Drew, being shut down. I'm going to the opposing tight end here and a prop bet here with Hunter Henry for an anytime touchdown at +120. Rough start to the season for Hunter. First 3 weeks, no touchdowns. In the 7 weeks since then, he's got touchdowns in 6 games. And I went back and did a little research because I watch every Patriots game, and I feel like I keep noticing that pattern of Hunter Henry getting looks and scores in the red zone. So I went back and looked at his touchdowns so far this year. 3 yards, 3 yards, 7 yards, 1 yards, 20 yards, technically still in the red zone, 13 yards, 11 yards. Are we seeing a pattern here? Mac loves to throw to Hunter in the red zone. He's got 11 targets, which is among the top 5 handful of tight ends in the league in red zone targets. 7 catches there on the air, and as I just explained, all in the red zone. Mac's going to be looking for him when they get down close to the goal line, and believe me, they will, because this Atlanta defense is terrible, and the Patriots are going to run all over them. I got Hunter Henry scoring at any time TD +120. I love this bet this week.
Dangles, before we go to the Sunday night lock, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being like, you know, Scooby-Doo levels, 1 being absolutely nothing, how scared are you about this Atlanta game on Thursday night?
About a 2. I really don't. I think this Atlanta team is bad. I went back and I rewatched the Atlanta game at the time of recording here. Dallas is a great team. don't get me wrong. But they scored 3 points in the first half on, I think, I don't know if it was their first possession. Actually, I think it was their first possession in response to the Cowboys touchdown, and nothing. Nothing after that. They're a terrible defensive team. Matt Ryan can't win games with his arm anymore. He looks like he's struggling to throw the ball. He's got nobody to throw the ball to. I think we're going to whoop the pants off them. I don't know if I'm comfortable taking the spread just as a better because I'm nervous about it. I might tease him, but like in my heart of hearts, I think we're going to win by like 10 or 12. 12.
Damn, you heard it here first from Mr. D'Angelo Antonio. But that's it for the Thursday night lean. It's time to now go to the Sunday night lock.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, if you like Drew, you've headed into Sunday night the past 3 weeks going 1-6 on your Sunday day bets. It's time to make some money on Sunday night. Time to change the pace of your Sunday, and it has one more game on the docket. Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth calling it. Dangles, what do we got for Sunday night?
It's right here in Los Angeles. Second straight home game at SoFi Stadium for the L.A. Chargers. They welcome the currently Ben Roethlisberger-less Pittsburgh Steelers to town. The Pittsburgh Steelers 5-3-1 after that sad tie to the Lions last week, and the Chargers 5-4. Pittsburgh right now is 5.5-point underdogs. Total in this game is 47 points. Pittsburgh 3-6 against the spread this year. The Chargers are 5-4 this year. I'll get us started here, guys, because I don't have a lot to say about this game. I'm going to talk a little bit about this game in a future segment, but I hate this game. I don't want to bet on it. I don't want to touch it. I'm taking the under 47 points in this game because Pittsburgh's offense is one-dimensional, even with Big Ben Roethlisberger in the game, and the Steelers have a decent defense that should keep the Chargers honest. And I'm just honestly also kind of sitting here questioning this Chargers team a bit after their last 4 weeks of play. They lose to the Vikings by 7. They beat the Eagles by just 3. They lost to my Pats by 3, and then they got blown out by the Ravens the week before, and then they won the week before that, but they gave up 42 in that win against Cleveland. So I'm kind of wondering what this Chargers team is right now. They've definitely come back down to earth. I won't be betting this game, but because I'm contractually obligated to by the rules of and bylaws of the West Coast Gamblers podcast, I will take the under in this game. Punts, change of possession, no points, no points, no points.
I'm interested to see how this game works out because I think both of these teams are AFC playoff contenders. I really, really do. And that tie to Detroit last week, I mean, yeah, you can blame it on Mason Rudolph, but there was a lot of things going wrong for that Pittsburgh team, and they really have to pull it together with a very short amount of time left on the docket, and this game is one that they need to win. Same thing with the Chargers. The Chargers are staring at the end of the AFC West versus the top as they were at the beginning of the season, and Dangles laid it out. The last 4 weeks have not been good for this Charger team. Because it's undetermined whether Ben's going to play the game or whether it's going to be Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins or a guy they grab out of the stands. It doesn't matter. That
Some
team is going to
lint.
Stink. I'm going with a prop bet on the rookie running back Najee Harris. I really have liked Najee Harris and what he's done for this team. He doesn't come off the field. He keeps on getting carries. He keeps on making people miss, and he keeps on producing, even though that offensive line is mostly known as not to be very good. I found a prop bet on DraftKings earlier today. Najee Harris over 116 rushing and receiving yards. Now, 116 is a big number, but in the past 5 games, Najee Harris has hit that number 4 times, and that's going up against the likes of Cleveland and Denver and the Seattle team, which actually is 11th, according to Football Outsiders, against the run. So if he can hit that against those teams, what's he going to do against an LA Chargers team, which, if you've heard this show before, is very bad at stopping the run on defense? I think they're going to lean on Najee Harris, no matter who the quarterback is back there. I think he gets a lot of touches, a lot of carries, a lot of receptions. And over 116 rushing and receiving yards for Najee Harris is my Sunday night lock. Schaefer the Sharp, you're 6-4 on Sunday night bets. What do you got right now?
Guys, in case you haven't noticed, I was digging deep this week, trying to get off the schnoz, trying to get my mojo back. And this game sucks. I hate it. I hate that we have to bet it.
Yep.
I don't want.
I'm glad that you said that.
I don't know. Like, why are we even?
Because
you know?
I think so.
Wait,
too.
Hold on. This game sucks as in betting wise, or you don't want to watch this game?
I don't want to watch it or bet it. I'd rather spend time with my family. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I want to watch.
Who
it.
Am I? No,
I don't
no,
want to
no.
bet.
No, but I'm saying there's my point. Squares is there's so many unknowns about this game as we record at the undisclosed hour that we record at. I want to know if Big Ben's playing. Yeah. I want to know if Watt's healthy, you know? I mean, what the hell? Like, this line doesn't even make sense. Obviously, if Big Ben's playing and Tomlin's history as a dog, especially a road dog, especially what we just talked about with Dangles, this is going to be a makeshift home game for Pittsburgh. I mean, the Steelers are absolutely the play. I can't back Pittsburgh if they have Mason fucking red-nosed Rudolph. Are you kidding me? Absolutely not. So it's just kind of a joke. Like, what are we talking about here? I mean, again, this is the life we lead as professional podcasters. However, it's a tough life.
It's
about as tough as that shirt. But I did dig deep, and I found a bet that I am almost guaranteeing that this will win. I'm taking longest touchdown play under 40.5 yards. Would you know that the last time both of these recorded a touchdown play of over 41 yards was October 10th, I think this is going to be an ugly game. Tomlin loves to really muddy it up. The Steelers defense, I think, will keep the Chargers in front. I don't think the Steelers are capable of vertically challenging the Chargers at all. I think it's going to be a lot of Najee, like you said, Tony. I really like this bet. I'm going longest touchdown play under 40 and a half yards.
Interesting. That's a bet. That's a bet that you can lose at any moment. It's always fun when you take bets like that. Always fun. Yeah. Dagos, what were you gonna say?
What is that shirt, Tony? Did MC? It's got like stairs and blocks and shit. Did MC throw up over that T-shirt?
Dagos, he asked me to go to the Prince Estate sale when he passed away, but I couldn't. I was busy that day.
Listen. It's something.
Did you buy
that
for DJ Jazzy Jeff?
Dagos, we record this podcast twice a week. Every week, and this is the fourth time you've worn your Sriracha shirt to the podcast, so don't try to talk to me about swagger. All right, listen, I'm wearing this shirt because I know that you're taking yours off in a very short while, and I had to wear enough shirts for the both of us, okay? So this shirt is loud, and I am proud
of it. Well, and that's why I'm wearing a shirt that I've worn before, not only because I work from home, and this is my work from home attire, but also because if I'm not going to be keeping it on, what's the point of showing off a cool t-shirt?
Yeah, just, you know, try to diversify your wardrobe a little bit more. I know you can't be the West End gamblers all the time, but maybe a little bit of a difference in your T-shirts would be appreciated on this show. But that is it for the Sunday Night Locks. It is now time to go to the King of the Coast.
West Coast Gamblers.
Get ready, race fans, because the ultimate NASCAR experience is about to hit the airwaves. Welcome to Pit Pass NASCAR, the podcast that takes you deep into the heart-pounding world of NASCAR racing.
Join us each week as we bring you closer to the NASCAR action with exclusive interviews and all the news and rumors you need with your favorite drivers, team members, and industry insiders.
So whether you're a fan of super speedways, short ovals, or road racing, or you've just watched Talladega Nights, Pit Pass NASCAR is the podcast you've been waiting for.
Get ready to fuel your passion for NASCAR like never before. Subscribe now to Pit Pass NASCAR on your favorite podcast platform or head to evergreenpodcast.com and get ready to join us.
Launching in the fall on Evergreen Podcast Network. Follow us on social media at pitpass_NASCAR to stay up to date with everything you need to know about the podcast.
I know that the phrase is one ring to rule them all, but this show does five bets to rule them all. It's time for King of the Coast. Each of the hosts here are taking three sides, one teaser, and one total. We've been doing this all year long. Each of these bets is confidence ranked. That first side is worth 1 point. The second side is worth 2 points. The teaser and the total, 2 points apiece. And then finally, we end with the backup, the Brinks truck bet of the week, and a full 3 points to the King of the Coast rankings. You're currently listening and or watching to the King of the Coast leader, at a solid 49 points. Drew, you're right behind me with 46. Dangles, you have 42. We're all getting clumped together as it gets to the midpoint of the season. It's time to make a run, and it's time to do it right meow. Dangles, let's go to you first, my friend. It's time for the one-point side in King of the Coast.
And I feel like a broken record here, but I'm going back to the Arizona Cardinals in a matchup on the road against the Seattle Seahawks. I have them right now -2.5. At Lumen Field against the Seahawks at +100. My forecast from my model has the Cards favored here by 5.5, again, based on, you know, home margins of win and loss. But that's, of course, you know, purely mathematical, and it's not taking, like, injuries into consideration like
Probably
Vegas
should
would.
Take injuries into
Probably
consideration.
Probably should take injuries into
might
consideration.
Want to. Considering
no, I think
you
so.
Just lost Arizona -10.5 and have to take your shirt off in about 5 minutes.
Thank you for reminding me, Tony. I'm well aware of that. But Arizona, I mean, they're just the better team on paper. They're fourth in my power rating, Seattle 19th. Kyler said on Wednesday per Adam Schefter that he's close to being back. Guys, I'm thinking he plays, and I think this number goes up before Sunday in the Cardinals' favor. So I'm going to do myself a favor here and get this now to make sure I take advantage of that closing line value because I think Seattle stinks. Russell Wilson was clearly having a hard time throwing the ball with that finger injury of his against the Packers. He overthrew a number of passes and just didn't make a bunch of throws that I feel like Russ would normally make. Another week will help him, but I've seen enough consistent performances out of the Arizona Cardinals against good teams this year that I'm not going to let one tough outing against the Panthers team where they didn't have their quarterback and they've shown that they can win without Kyler and without Kyler Murray. I'm not going to let that cloud my judgment here. Cardinals are going to win by 2.5 on the road. Book it now.
And you never know. Hold on 1 second. If Arizona starts to get up in the game, DK Metcalf might end up throwing himself out of the game by attacking defensive players. That made me so happy when he lost his cool. That just... That just made me so happy. Shay for the Sharp, you should probably go next.
Well, I'd like to make the first ever bet amongst co-hosts about the closing line of this game, if you don't mind, Mr. Dangles. I, for one, know for almost a fact, based on what I'm reading on and what you read about Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray's been close to playing three straight weeks. Now, yep. They have a bye next week. And whether they lose or win this game, they will be, if they lose this game, they're 8-3 on top of the NFC West. So I will bet you at the time of this recording that -2.5 will be a bad number. Will you take my bet?
Sure. Why not?
Well, what are you betting?
Yeah. What are we?
Well, that's what I'm saying
here.
So we were going to do a beer bet, but I think we run it back, go double or nothing, shirts or skins.
Hold on. I'm going to step in as a neutral party on this. I think to make it interesting, that closing line is going to move points-wise, right? Right now it's 2.5
yeah.
in Arizona's favor. I think the winner should get to bank the points that move. So if it's -2.5 right now and Dangles wins and it goes to -3.5, Dangles has a free point next week that he can put on any of the bets that he wants to make.
I dig that.
That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here.
Good job.
Drew, what's your bet for the 1 point side? Come on.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I'm on the Seahawks, of course, +2.5, because I do not anticipate Kyler Murray playing. And even though I just buried the Hawks of the Sea, don't tell Russ Wilson that. He's obviously celibate this whole week preparing for this game. Now, the Seahawks, I do think this is a kitchen sink. If they have any resemblance of playoff hopes, they have to win this game. Betting on Russ has been very profitable after bad game. Obviously, it's unprecedented. He's been shut out. And, you know, I take what Russ says. He's such a goofy guy. He's such a by-the-book guy. You know, he said his finger didn't bother him. I think he just played bad, and Packers, you know, defense was awesome. I do think this is a game where the Seahawks absolutely have to win. And if they do win, 5 of their last 7 games, I have them being favored. If they win those games, they're 9-8. And they're right there in the playoff hunt. So I do think this is kind of the Hawks Super Bowl. I think, like what I said about the Cardinals having a bye next week, even if they lose, they're still going to be on top of the NFC West at 8-3. Get a healthy Kyler, get a D-hop. I almost made this my 2-point side, but for now, it will be my 1-point side. I will take the Seahawks at home +2.5.
Just one more point on that game. The Seahawks, yes, they were shut out. The offense played poorly. But that defense held Green Bay to 16 points. That's not an easy thing to do. I know the Green Bay offense isn't clicking. Aaron was missing throws, but they still held that Green Bay offense just 16 points, most of those coming in the fourth quarter. So that defense has improved as this year has gone along as well. And if they're playing Chris Strieveler or whatever his name is, Dangles, I'm sorry, you're not winning your bet. But for my...
What happened to Colt McCoy? Is he dead?
Colt McCoy has a pectoral strain, so who the fuck knows, okay? And who cares? If it's not Kyler Murray, it's all over.
Especially if it's not Colt McCoy, Kyler's playing.
So, oh, man. So, my 1 point side, we talked about this on yesterday's show, and it was, I had to make a bet on this game. It's just too important to not make a bet. Very excited to watch this game. It's Cincinnati at Las Vegas. I really don't like this Las Vegas team. Coming off of that hard loss on Sunday night to the Chiefs, they're going to be feeling down on themselves. They're going to want to improve, and they're going to want to come out firing. But that Cincy team also is coming off of a few losses. They had a bye to get things right, to get healthy. I think Cincinnati takes advantage here, and I think Cincinnati wins the game. Cincinnati -1 is my 1 point side. Now let's go to the teaser. The teaser is worth 2 points in the King of the Coast rankings. A teaser, if you haven't been paying attention, is where you get points on the spread. So Cincinnati, I just told you, is -1. If I put them in a teaser, I would move them. I would get 6 points on that. They would suddenly become Cincinnati +5. The goal to this, though, is you got to take two of those bets, tie them together, and hit them both to hit your teaser. So, Dangles, I'm coming back to you for a reason. You were terrible on teasers to start this season, but did you know over the last 5 weeks, you are 4-1 on your teasers on this show? 4-1 over your last 5 weeks. So lead us into the promised land, my friend. What is your teaser for week 11?
Oh, if you're banking on me to lead you into the promised land on teasers,
have confidence.
Then,
4-1.
Then you're going to be in luck because I feel good about this one this week. All right.
Way to bring the lead.
My teaser this week, I am doing a 6-point teaser. I have the Vikings +8 versus the Packers in Minneapolis, and I have the San Francisco 49ers down to a pick'em against the Jacksonville Jaguars. First, the Vikings. At home, they should keep this division game, I think, pretty close. I think a lot of people are expecting that to happen. And there, you mentioned my record, Larry. Or, Larry. You mentioned my record, Tony.
Larry.
Larry. You know my boss's name is Larry.
Larry.
Spending too much time at work. But yeah, so this is obviously a division game. I think as home underdogs, the Vikings keep this close. Hungry dogs, as Drew likes to say, do run faster. And I think this is a hungry Vikings team that needs a division win if they want to stay in the playoff conversation against a team that already has a pretty good stranglehold on this division. So I think this one is close. And the Vikings are part of the reason why I've been doing well. I've taken them in a couple of teasers over the last few weeks, and they've covered for me. And look, laugh at me if you will. But the Jags do occasionally show up at home in front of their home fans. I know this firsthand. San Francisco comes off of their beatdown on Monday Night Football against the Rams on national TV, and I think they could potentially be in a letdown spot here against the team that they know that they should beat in a game that maybe they're overlooking. So, again, 6-point teaser, Vikings up from 2 points to 8 against the Packers, and 49ers, who are favored by 6 against the Jaguars, down to a pick'em.
I'm mad I didn't include that San Fran game on my slate. Drew, what do you got?
I just think it's so curious, and I want to say this is seriously, Danks. You've taking the whole teaser thing, and you've learned and you've done well, and I've been very proud of you for the last 5 weeks. Is you're taking great legs. What cracks me up about your teaser handicap is you always talk about how your second leg is about to be in a flat spot and let down, yet you tease them.
No, I didn't I didn't say they lose. I said the Jags occasionally show up.
So you think it
home.
Might be closer than the spread, but you still think San Francisco got it. Okay.
Yes, absolutely. No, I don't. I think the San Francisco 49ers win this game.
Don't mess with a man who's 4-1 over the last 5 in his teaser. In fact, Dangles on those teams in particular. 4-0 when taking Green Bay games, 3-1 when taking San Fran, 4-3 when taking Jacksonville, and then 1-4 when taking Minnesota. But put it together, that's 12-8 when you're betting on those teams. So you got winning records here, you got a feeling for those teams. I like that teaser. And I'm mad it includes San Fran on mine because I like it a lot better than the leg I'm about to give out right here. But hey, welcome back to the NFL, Joe Flacco.
Yeah,
come on back down. Start a game in the NFL. You're ready. Mike White, you did great. You went back to Earth. Sit down. Zach Wilson, I think we saw the entirety of it, actually, that Mike White career. Zach Wilson, not ready to play. Big-ass air quotation marks over that phrase. Joe Flacco, we traded a 6th-round pick for you. Come on over. You're starting the game. The Jets might be the worst team in football. I know Detroit hasn't won a game. I know Houston is putrid. But the Jets really, especially defensively, have let up more points in the last 4 games than the second most points in the last 4 games in the entirety of the NFL since 1970. And I know Miami is not the offense there. I know Miami is not a great team, but I think Miami is feeling really good about that Baltimore win. They're playing with a lot of confidence into this Jets game, and they will come in and beat the Jets. So I'm teasing Miami down. I'm putting them in a 6.5-point teaser so I can get Miami plus 3. The other leg I'm taking, Dangles, I'm sorry, I'm with Drew on that Seattle-Arizona game. I'm taking Seattle. I'm teasing them up to plus 9. I really think this is the Super Bowl, as Drew said, for those Seattle Seahawks. They need to win this game if they have any hope of playoff contention. If they lose this game, I'm pretty sure Russell's agent is going to leak the teams that he's looking to be traded to in the offseason. But that's what I got for the teaser. Seattle plus 9, Miami plus 3. Drew, what do you got?
Well, I'll go back to my boy Dangles because he did inspire me last week because he teased the Vikings. And I hate the Vikings, as everyone knows. But did you know the Vikings have covered, based on the number you got them, in every game this year if you've included them in teaser? The only 2 games where they didn't, depending on the number, against the Lions and against the Cowboys. But if you got them in a good number, they're 10-0 on teasers. This is the best team to tease because all they do is play close games. So I am going to plug my nose and hold my testicles, and I will tease the Minnesota Vikings 6 points to plus 8 as my first leg, because I do think that game will be competitive, and I might talk about that total a little bit later. My second leg, I really, really like the Saints this week, guys, and what's keeping me off the card at plus 2 is, stop me if you've heard this before, again, the sharps, the professionals, pouring money on the Eagles. I don't really get it. They obviously were right last week, but up until that point, they've never been right. The Saints have the best rush defense in all of football. We all know that Philly just really runs, and everything they do is based on the run. And let's not forget about this coaching mismatch here. Sean Payton lost two close games in a row. Saints need the game like blood. I don't really believe in Philly. I think they play actually better on road, better on the road as opposed to that kind of anxious home crowd if they start slow. And don't forget, last year Jalen Hurts made his NFL debut as a 6-point dog at home against these Saints, and Jalen Hurts showed out. I remember I had the Saints -6 ticket. That did not win. The Eagles won the game outright. So I think this is a great revenge spot for the Saints. They might make my circuit card at +2, but I definitely feel great teasing them up. It's a nice, clean 6-point teaser. Minnesota, New Orleans, +8.
Love it. That's a lot of teasing. That's a lot of numbers. Let's get back to the easy ones. It's time to go to the 2-point side. And, boys, I'm going to go first because both of you took Minnesota +8. And I have to do it. I mean, I have to do it. I just kind of have to do it. I listened to yesterday's pod, and I heard myself talk about how scared I was about this Packers team going into Minnesota. They have our number. There's a skull chant going on and the horn blowing. It's Minnesota's season. They're the number 8 team in the NFC. They need this win, blah, blah, blah. I sounded like a little wimp, and I'm not going to do it today. Green Bay -2 is my bet because Green Bay right now is 8-2. Minnesota is 4-5. If Green Bay wins this game, that gives them a 4.5 game lead on the division with 6 to play. They know that, and they're going to come out firing in this game. They want to wrap this division up before the bye, and I think they will. Green Bay -2 is my 2-point side. Go, Pack, go. Dangles, what do you got?
Is this the part where I have to take my shirt off?
Oh, yeah. Take that shirt off, Dangles.
See, I remember. Yeah.
Tony,
remember
you're the worst of these bets.
I'm a man. I am
lipstick,
a man of my
shirts,
word.
Tony, you're just like, what second. Are you doing? Thank you, Dangs.
True. I got two notebooks. I got a spreadsheet in front of me. I got to run your ass. I got to make sure you're in camera view. I got a lot going on. There it is,
I was going to say, shirtless. You're scaring the chicks away, but you're a happily married man, so you know.
Flex on them. Yeah, I don't need to worry
Dangles,
about that. See
Dangles,
this, baby.
Dangles,
both people that are going to watch this video on YouTube have no interest in that, so I'm not worried.
Dangles, can you turn the exposure down? Your pale skin is blinding the camera.
Yeah, that's the New Hampshire in me. I am Italian, but you know, especially with the pandemic, we don't get a lot of sunlight. For my 2-point side,
you look
Drew,
like
you
a
just...
tub of mayonnaise with a beard.
Is that half and half or almond milk?
A combination of both, actually. Half and half and half almond milk, half and half.
Nice.
And sometimes a little Funfetti creamer if I'm feeling saucy because my wife loves it. It's always in our fridge. So, Drew, you talked about this game where I'm going for my 2-point side already. I'm taking the Saints money line at +100. I honestly don't have any idea how Philadelphia is favored by 2 points in this game, even at home. You mentioned the coaching mismatch, which I think is a big factor here. Sean Payton and his coaching staff are far more knowledgeable and far more experienced and just far better put together than Nick Sirianni and his. And Philly, you know, they've been great on the road, but terrible at home.
Yeah.
They're 0-4 at the link this year, 1-3 against the spread at home. You know, I think the Saints are just the better team overall, and especially if Alvin Kamara is confirmed to play, I think the Saints could potentially even be favored on the road by kickoff. I did look at this for the potential teaser, and from a mathematical standpoint, I think I can recommend that if you're looking for teaser legs, but I'm confident enough that the Saints win outright here with a stalwart rushing defense and a solid linebacking core that's capable of containing the Eagles' RPO-heavy offense. So instead of taking the spread at -110 for the Saints +2, I'm going money line. Oh, it's moved +115 now for the New Orleans Saints to win against the Eagles on the road.
Dangles, I know what I'm getting you for Christmas. Vitamin D supplements, my friend, because clearly not getting enough sun over there. Shea for the Sharp, what do you
I'm
got?
Putting my shirt back on now.
Dangs, great handicap and great skin.
Everyone's safe.
And by the way, Dangs, thanks Ivory. For also exposing, you know, I didn't know that before we actually were announced the King of the Coast standings and all this hub about Shea for the Sharp going 3 and whatever the hell he was the last 3 weeks. I'm only 46 points, and I've not even got that many points. I'm only 3 points behind Larry, the leader, so that's good. So
Larry squares.
So for my 2-point side, guys, I'm gonna go on a little mini story here. Before I was a professional NFL handicapper.
Do I need a lunch?
I was, Gatorade sack lunch and flip-flops. Yeah, pull up a chair. I actually was an All-State basketball player, two-time All-State. In fact, here's my 1,000-point ball. This is my 1,000-point ball my dad keeps in his office. Now, there was a game called Sevens where you would shoot consecutive three-pointers against an opponent, right? And sometimes the ball was in your hands with a chance. The whole point was if you missed, you were out. Now, obviously, if the ball was in my hands, my opponent, I usually thought I was the better shooter. But sometimes the ball would be in the opponent's hands, and I liked it because if he missed, I knew I was going to win. That's the reason I'm picking the Dallas Cowboys as my two-point side at +2.5 because this is a prove-it game for the Chiefs. I'm going to make him shoot for it. You shoot for it, Kansas City. Listen, I was wrong last week. I raised my hand. I was dead wrong. But who have the Chiefs beat this year? Well, I'll tell you. They beat the Browns in week one. They beat the Eagles. They beat the football team. They beat the Giants. They beat the Jordan Love Packers. And they beat the Raiders. And who knows what the Raiders season looks like after that game. Because as Tony said, there's a lot going on with the Las Vegas Raiders right now. I'm going to put my ball down. So my point is I think Dallas is the better team. I think they have the better defense. I think they have the better running. I know they have the better running attack, and I think their quarterbacks are pretty equal. So I will take the Dallas Cowboys +2.5 despite the coaching mismatch that I referred to yesterday. And this is a bet that I feel very comfortable with because if the Chiefs beat me, guess what I'm not doing? I'm probably not betting against the Chiefs, but I'll make him prove it this week. Give me the Dallas Cowboys +2.5.
Drew, you are 12-9 when taking underdogs on the year. That might have been some of your problem the last few weeks, taking a lot of favorites. So I like that you're taking Dallas here. And I hope Dallas wins because I have them in our winners league. Drew, you're 3-2 when betting on Dallas, 5-2 when betting on Kansas City. Last week, notwithstanding, you have a hold on these teams. I'm interested to see how that game turns out. But that's it for the two-point side. It's time now to go to the total. And this one's hard, folks, because I hate both of the teams I'm about to take, and I hate this game. So it's a plug-your-nose bet for me, but I'm doing well taking unders. I've hit the past few that I've taken. I'm taking another under here. I think San Fran got really lucky when they played LA. Yeah, that defense played really well, and Matt Stafford gave them some points, as he's wont to do in these big games, apparently. But that offense just still couldn't click against that Rams defense. Debo, if he didn't break a couple of those touchdowns, that offense isn't really scoring at will. And I think they played their Super Bowl. I think this game against Jacksonville is a letdown game. Dangle said that he thinks Jacksonville can play at home. Their crowd goes crazy. They're in the pool dancing. They have a lot of fun there. And we made fun of Urban Meyer early in this year, and rightfully so. But that defense has played really well over the past few weeks, especially against the run. And if you're going to tell me that I'm going to trust Jimmy Garoppolo to go out and score, 45 points in this game? And if you're going to tell me that James Robinson, who likely won't play, Jacksonville, who can't run the ball at all, Trevor Lawrence is going to get to 45 against that San Fran defense in this game? Listen, unless there's special teams touchdowns or a defensive touchdown, that always screws an under. I'm taking San Fran and Jacksonville under 45. Let's go. Dangles, what do you got for your total?
We talked a little bit about this game yesterday, and I can't say I'm particularly excited to watch it, but I will bet on it because I think it's going to be a slugfest. I think you got two teams with inconsistent offenses here. I'm talking about the Washington football team and the Panthers. I'm taking their under at 43 points. Cam Newton's supposed to start this game. We know he can't pass. It'd be a miracle, and frankly, I'd be pissed off because he was a terrible passer with us. If somehow he got back to super cam passing levels in this time off that he's had where he hasn't been playing football. I'm seeing a lot of punts and changes of possession in this game. Carolina's going to need to lean on its run game when Cam ultimately can't pass and or when their receivers drop balls because the Carolina Panthers receivers do that a lot. And Washington football team's run defense, for all the crap we've given their defensive unit this year, they're actually 6th rush defense DVOA and also in PFF's grading of rush defensive units. And lastly, Ron Rivera knows Cam Newton, and he just coached his defense in a shutdown of the Bucs and Brady, who threw 2 picks in his first 6 passes in the first half. I'm seeing a low-scoring game. I'm seeing changes of possession here. I don't think 43 is going to hit, so I've got the under in this game. Washington football team at Panthers, under 43 points.
Jay for the sharp finish, let's hope for the totals.
Boys, I'm going to a division game that Larry will be interested in on Sunday, and it is the Packers and Vikings. I think we get a little value here in a division game because these division games will be tightly contested. Now, I think it's very competitive. I don't mind Tony's side at all. I took the Vikings in a teaser, so I do think it's going to be a close game. Guys, the Packers are 8-2 on the under this year, and the Vikings are 4-0 on the under in home games. The Packers haven't scored more than 24 points in regulation since week four. And I just think this Packers defense has kind of a new identity, and I do think that Minnesota will play their best, their best game of the year defensively because they have to. That's my handicap, because they have to. But I love the under here, guys. I love it. I love it. I love it. I will take the under 49.5 Green Bay, Minnesota.
Three unders on our total bets this week.
Barstool Sports would hate us. We're getting smarter, boys. We're not part of the overs club. Sorry, Dave.
Let's move on to the Brinks Truck bet. Drew, you're 6-4 on Brinks Truck bets this week. I'm excited to see where you go, but I'm going to go first. Because I was looking at our overall standings here, what we've done throughout the year, how we've bet, what our numbers are, and I was very surprised to see that I was 8-2 when betting on underdogs. Surprised not only at that record 8-2, but surprised also that I've only taken 10 underdogs on the year. And I think I've picked my spots here, because underdogs are obviously winning against the spread. If you follow any gambler, you'll know underdogs are winning more than favorites are. But 8-2 is something not to sniff at, and I think I've picked my spots, and I'm going to pick another one here. You guys have already talked about it. Dangles has already made it his two-point bet, but New Orleans +2. I hate this Philadelphia team, and this Philadelphia team has been doing well when Jalen Hurts can get out of the pocket, make plays with his feet, and break contain and have those big plays. Devonta Smith is making hella contested catches. He's playing awesome as a rookie. Running the ball, Boston Scott, Kenneth Gainwell, they could get back Miles Sanders for this game. They're able to run the ball on anybody, and that makes their whole offense tick. New Orleans is number one in DVOA playing against the run. I don't love New Orleans offense, even with a semi-healthy Kamara coming back, but they are complete offense. They know what they're doing. Simeon is a professional backup quarterback. He's not going to make too many mistakes and take you out of the game. Defensively, they are a smart team under Dennis Allen, defensive coordinator, and they will know, with Marcus Davenport on one side, Cameron Jordan on the other, keep Jalen Hurts in the pocket and make him beat you with five-step drops. It's not going to happen. New Orleans +2 is my backup, the Brinks Truck bet of the week. I cannot wait to watch this game. I know it's going to happen. New Orleans +2. Now, Shay for the Sharp, I know you have a very special Brinks Truck bet for us, so I'll go with Dangles for his.
Well, this is another game, and as we've talked about this game already on the show today, where I don't understand why the team that is favored is favored. In what world are the Kansas City Chiefs better than the Dallas Cowboys right now? I just don't get it. The only thing that accounts for that 2.5-point spread, which it is at the time of recording, is home field advantage, because I just don't see how KC's favored here. Their offense is inconsistent, and it's got a bad defense. They're 30th in DVOA and 32nd on PFF's defensive unit ranking list. It just doesn't give me any reason to think that Dak and the Dallas offense, which PFF grays out, by the way, as the best overall offensive unit in the league, is going to have trouble moving the ball downfield and scoring on this Chiefs team. The Chiefs defense is just two spots above Atlanta on PFF's grading, 27th versus 29th, and the Dallas Cowboys just hung 43 on the Falcons last week. And then lastly, I wrote this down this morning next to Brink's Truck early in the morning as I was looking through the lines. And on my lunch break, I tuned into our friends at the Bet Predators podcast. And wouldn't you believe it, our friend Sleepy J had the Dallas money line as well as his pick. It's always nice when you get a pro to validate something that you felt you were leaning towards already. I'm taking the Dallas money line here again at +120. It's a better price than you're going to get at -105 if you take them on the spread. And I do believe Dallas wins this game outright.
Dangles, you're 10-5 when taking away teams, 7-5 when taking underdogs on the year. Put that together, you're 17-10 with this bet. Very excited to see how that Brinks Truck bet works out for you, but that means we only have one more bet left. It's the man who has lost. The emperor has no clothes. Shay for the Sharp, 3-18 over the past 3 weeks, but he loves his Brink Truck bet. It's 6-4 on the year. What do you have for us to close out the show? Your redemption tour starts now.
It does. And before that little run, I was 19-15-1, Mr. Tony, and doing just fine. So like I said, first of all, I like both of your Brink Truck bet a lot, guys. So this could either be a great week for the West Coast gamblers or but I'm really into both of those, both your picks. They might both make my Circa card. But Dangles, I have to say, if I was running a little bit better, if I was a little more confidence, a little more swagger, I would have done a whole sketch for this pick, because it's honestly probably the best side I've liked all year. I don't know, like,
I've heard this one before.
No, really, this is like one of the best sides I've liked all year. It truly is, and I'm going to be a homeowner tomorrow. My first home that I'm closing on with my wife. And
hey, congrats.
Thanks, man. I'm very excited. It's a good accomplishment. It's why we moved back to Michigan, to be homeowners. What she does not know is this is obviously the first time that we've had a mortgage. And what she does not know is I bet my first mortgage on this game. So it's either going to be first month is free or we got to double up right away. So it's going to be interesting. But yeah.
Start driving for Uber.
Okay, so Cam Newton, he goes 3 of 4. For 8 yards and a touchdown, he rushes the ball 3 times for 14 yards and a touchdown, and he shouts, "I'm back!" and tears his shirt. Okay, so if I'm 6'6", 255 pounds, and a world-class athlete, I think I could have made that run he had. I think I could probably could have made the throw he had. And now he's saying he's starting for Carolina and all this stuff. I mean, P.J. Walker, by my recollection, wasn't that bad. I mean, Christian McCaffrey had a pretty good game himself.
P.J. Walker, professional quarterback, by the way. You're welcome.
Cam Newton, starting quarterback for the Carolina Panthers, playing against Ron Rivera, who might know a thing or two about Cam Newton based on their past relationship. The football team finally put one together last week. They put one together last week. Heinicke looked fucking awesome. Antonio Gibson looked like he was supposed to look. And, you know, Scary Terry's making plays. And somehow Cam Newton, as a starting quarterback, after what we saw last year, after he's been on the couch for the first 10 weeks of the season, is starting a professional football game against his ex-head coach, and he's laying 3.5 points. What are we talking about? What are we talking about? Now, I know Carolina's defense is good, but...
Excellent.
But I think my boy Taylor Heinicke has got a little bit of swagger going in. So, my first ever... You see what that is, guys? That's a Brinks lock. Okay, that's a Brinks lock. So I'm gonna undo that key, and I'm gonna take this key.
Unsponsored.
Yeah, I'm gonna take this
key. Although feel free to reach out, Brinks.
And I'm gonna put it in an undisclosed location. But I will take the Washington football team +3.5 against Scam Newton. Come on, football team.
I don't really understand. He unlocked the Brinks truck, put the key in his pocket, and then we'll come back to it later. I'm not too sure.
For our listeners who aren't watching on YouTube, the lock isn't attached to anything. No. So, like, by not winning this bet, it's not like Drew loses access to something that he would need. It's just a lock that he would just never unlock and throw away.
It's just a paperweight. It's literally just a paperweight. Hey,
I didn't really think that out very well.
If that's what gives you the mojo, Mike, that you need to win this game, then more power to you, buddy. I want you to win as much as the next guy.
I was looking for home goods, and I saw it at fucking Menards, and I had to grab it. So, you know.
Again, Brinks, feel free to reach out. We are available for sponsorships. We give you enough free stuff already. But that's it for the West Coast Gamblers. You have all of our bets. You have our Sunday night locks. You have our Thursday night leans. I'm very excited to watch a hotly contested playoff implication abound Week 11 football. For Matthew Dangles, D'Angelo Antonio, Schaefer the Sharp, Drew Schaefer Crooks, and my name is Tony Cavallo. And as always, thank you for listening.
Dub C to the G, West Coast Gamblers.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Warriors in Their Own Words, a podcast that presents the unvarnished, unsanitized truth of what we have asked of those who defend this nation. As a country, we need these stories more than ever. Stories from Americans who have borne the battle, including 30-year-old remastered interviews with veterans from World War I recounting their time in the trenches of Europe, and with veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and from our most recent conflicts in Iraq, Afghanistan, and other battlefields Americans may never have heard of. Hear their stories by listening to Warriors in Their Own Words wherever you find podcasts.